You know where that came from? When they call it. Because the guy's name is Horace, so he's become the Hulk.
I like Horace better.
So is it our Dallas Horace then?
Which is an embarrassing name. Can you imagine being called Horace?
Just call me Buff.
I still can't. I'm serious. I was going to, when I was a little kid, I heard about people suing and stuff. I was going to sue my mother and dad for naming me Holy. Because they got so much crap for.
It was really probably Per Holy, right?
What?
It was really Per Holy.
I felt that way about both my names.
Horace is a good name.
Horace?
It has resonances of classical.
Yes,
poetry and all
this. As residents of...
Holy, however, doesn't...
That doesn't... No, that doesn't anything. There's nothing with holy.
It's an impressive... It's impressive to the other berserkers.
Horse is good for a guy, but not for
me,
a guy.
It's the king in Norwegian. That's holy? What it comes from.
Well, there's a whole lot of Sven and Holy jokes.
Sven.
There's a lot of... Most of them make fun of Sven.
Oh, well. Holy and Lena.
There's a lot of Ole and Lena.
What is Ole short for? Olaf? Or?
Short. It's not short for anything.
Like
I don't want to.
It's short for Oleander.
Ole. It's short for Ole.
I, see, all of these, this crap. Now, this is what I used to get when I was a kid. Oleander.
You've heard it all?
I've heard it all, and it was all boring then.
Well, I always thought that maybe you got a Norwegian father and a Hispanic mother.
Ole.
Touche.
I'm humiliated.
Hey, don't be talking about his mama.
Talking about mama.
You have a holiday message for
me? You said that.
Wait a minute.
In the Hebrew Bible, Ecclesiastes 11:10 is verse 1 of chapter 12.
Say that again, in the Hebrew Bible, verse 1, chapter 12.
In the Hebrew Bible, what we have here is Ecclesiastes 11, verse 10, is verse... is verse 1 of chapter 12, and then so there's another verse. And
like starts a new little scroll. Or something.
Yeah, so it's a different scroll.
So without knowing it, we've actually moved to chapter 1.
That's one way to
That's sneaky.
We missed the celebration time.
Because of that, I want to spend today, because I don't want to start chapter 12 today. I want to spend a little bit more time, and we've touched on it and talked about it. But in verse 9 in our Bible, rejoice, O young man, thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Now, there's tons and tons and tons of stuff written about this verse. But I don't believe we can make sense of it without Christ's parable that I think we read it the other day, but it's in Matthew, where is it? Matthew something or other. Matthew 22. I think what Christ, this parable, is, it's an expansion on a lot of things, but it certainly is an expansion on this, that knowing all these things, I will be judged. Now, we hear the word judged, and we don't attach any weight to it, because we're not standing before the court with a penalty to be immediately. There's no appeal process in spirit. That's why the scriptures that say we are that Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh but justified in the spirit. There can never be an appeal to anything in judgment. You understand? This is critical to understand. You can't have an excuse. You can't have a reason. You can't have anything. There's no appeal because it's the final.
Wouldn't the appeal only be to mercy?
That's like sloppy agape.
I like that.
Well, it's not. That's why you don't understand the fear of not you, but the people don't understand the fear of God. Because we always think since his judgment was delayed because of mercy, then when it comes to judgment, then there will be mercy.
And it's perfect justice
because that's
why you don't have any other appeal.
Right.
Because it's perfect. Whatever he meets out is judgment.
And it doesn't matter what you think about it. It doesn't matter whether you agree with it. It doesn't matter. There's no attorneys that can represent you. There's nothing. And it's in God's time, the judgment is instant. There is the verdict and the judgment and the penalty. All of them are boom, boom, boom. Same time. That's why all men died on the cross. That was the judgment of God. It was prefigured in each step. It was prefigured in his conception and Hanukkah. It was certified in his birth, because Rosh Hashanah, according to Jewish laws, was Judgment Day. So we hear, well, we're going to hear trumpets in the future. No, the trumpets blew on his birth. That was the Judgment Day. But it's only all of these delays, the long-suffering, if you will, because mercy exists, we expect licentiousness from God. Were you raising your hand, or do you have to go to the bathroom?
No, I want to say something, but I don't. I'm not going to. I've heard sermons by people who say that the verse that says, "But we have an advocate with the Father," means that Jesus Christ is our defense attorney. Is there any validity to that?
The advocate comes from the word paraclete, and the comforter is we're comforted by his life, but the flesh is no more to be considered, and everything that took place in the Old Testament has to be repeated in us, because that's the way it works. That's why the figure was showing it was all things are after the pattern, and all things that took place. And all the law was a picture of what Moses saw on the mount. Well, on the mount, he was in eternity. So that's why you've heard me say, I don't care what anybody believes. I don't care what you think about it. I don't care. It sounds harsh, but it is harsh. Because without it, you'll never know the fear of God. And so you will walk around in this swamp of your mind, that's just everything. It's in the twilight of your life, and you know it's always. And I'll deal with that later. And so that's why 99% of the world's population, their life is really made up of a series of compromises. And so that's why all of these things that are deep within you haunt you. Because the infinite number of compromises you've made throughout your entire life in order to have what you perceive as peace, or in order to have a society and all these other kind of things, they haven't gone away. They're just these things that it's like this miasma of coping. And I wasn't picking on you. they're infinite, and so that's why forgiveness of everything has it has nothing to do with the issue. You forgive from the heart everyone, everything, every situation, every breath, everything that's ever happened, and it has nothing to do with any of that. You forgive from the heart because of God, and it's not optional. Well, I'm working on forgiveness, and I'll you know. No, the forgiveness has to be instantaneous, because without it, you won't know that. Because the lack of forgiveness is the evidence you don't know the fear of God. Is that communicating?
Yeah, if you're not positioned in this sphere that we talk about, it just won't happen, because you, outside of Christ, can't even do that.
That's why the Bible isn't written to the world. Who gives a crap whether some scientist thinks he invented or saw evolution? All I did was it showed what all the believers were believing. They believe in spiritual evolution, so that it first happened, and then only reading for that wasn't so we can protect our kids from evil evolutionists. It was so that we can see our own sin and believing in spiritual evolution. Oh, we've got time, we've got this, we're going to get better. And oh, every day and every way I'm becoming a better and better person. I'm going to give my testimony and tell me what God has done for me. That's not your testimony. The testimony is how this meat has been worked out in you. And that has to be shared. Because without it being shared, if it's kept internalized, then all you're doing is piling crap on top, and you think it's really spiritual knowledge, you're just piling crap on top of your festering sore.
We were reading this thing, Solomon's, when he's dedicated the temple. And, you know, he goes in this long deal about how if your prayers, if you pray towards this place, everything, God will be attentive to your prayers and answer your prayers. But the way he ends, he says, and he will, you know, grant you forgiveness. And it's like, what if you're not praying for forgiveness? What if you're praying for this thing to happen over here? That's all he's dishing out is forgiveness. That's all, you know, it's like that, and that covers everything. It's like your prayers about stuff are really, you know, irrelevant or corollary to just this basic thing that God has done.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and all of that, everything that Solomon said in the dedication of the temple was just for so that we could see, and it was recorded, what it meant when Christ was the temple. Now he's your life. But if he isn't your life, then all of that is meaningless, because you're in the wrong ball game. You're trying to go swimming without being in the pool. And so you have opinions and free will, and everybody invents all this crap to justify what they do, and they invented financial systems and political systems and economic systems and all these things and philosophies. And it's all vain deceit. Because it's all it is piling something on top of a festering, rotten, dead body. Oh, well, I think this is interesting or that's interesting. No, it's not. It's putting makeup on a dead body. And the scriptures are clear. Everything that happened in this book is a revelation of what, of something for you to see the end. We've talked about this before. His own right arm has gotten him the victory, because the thing, the created being, didn't. He didn't pass the test. So his own zeruah, his own seed. And that's why this New Testament says only that which came from eternity can return to eternity. Only that which you and I, after the flesh, didn't come from the Father. We were made of dust. And he breathed and we became a living soul. But the soul is not the goal, because the soul is locked. It isn't in eternity.
Very time dependent, and gives all of its.
Well, it's just your
time.
We are begotten again by the resurrection of Christ. So all of the tests that took place in the scriptures were repeated in you. That's why you have to read the scriptures, like we talked about the other day about. You know, you don't. It won't do you any good. You can read all day long about God said, "Let there be light," but unless you know you're the darkness, that God said there be light will be meaningless to you. So you'll just try to apply that onto some vain philosophy. You think of it, oh, it's historical and it's this and it's scientific. No, it's not. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the light. He is the way. He is the truth. He is peace. He's none of, you can't gain it because he is it. So all tests in the Old Testament were repeated anew. A man was first tried in innocency. We've talked about this many times, but it, because of that scripture that we read about all you shall be judged, you got to see it. What happened? He was tested in innocency. Innocency without self-awareness. What happened? The flood. No, I mean the fall. We don't know how many things that he passed or that he did satisfactorily, but we know that because of inordinate curiosity and because of this potential, the rise above the cloud in the same way that the fallen one before rose above the cloud, so it must be repeated in you. So we created man in innocency, and then came the fall. And that fall was... It was universal. It affected everything in time and space. And he was tested without law for the generations up till Noah. And what happened? Massive idolatry. Massive, every possible... We can't even imagine the stuff that went on there. Except you probably can because you've experienced them in your mind. Something you want to share?
Toothpicks.
Wow. We interrupt for toothpicks.
Everything is equally important.
Except self.
We can leave that out. Sorry.
Then we had the flood. Because without law, became just anarchy and total survival of the fittest.
Let me stop just one second. When you were talking a minute ago about light, let there be light, this, the earth was without form and void. And I just really experienced it when you said let there be light, because that's, this earth was without form and void until God said let there be light.
But you got to hear it more than that. You've got to hear it even in the present, what you understood. It's without, even right now, as you're hearing, you've got to see, I still in the darkness and without form and void.
Yeah.
Because repentance has to be constant. You can never leave that place.
Yeah, I can't say, now I'm
now,
light.
Now you have light. No, yeah. You can't even say that. Yeah. Because then you won't. Then you will be deceived.
And I've entered into the...
Then you will arrive somewhere and somebody else hasn't. You can't be the chief of sinners because there are things that you don't think are right, so I have a right to judge that. You see that?
Yeah, that's the preaching of the cross, because it never stops.
Then it was then man was tested with the restraints of human law. It's called the Noachian law, which is, you can read it in Noah, but I mean, it just talks about you shouldn't eat, don't kill, and there's just these basic fundamental things in order to have the semblance of society. And what happened? Massive idolatry. Just came about instantly. Then he was tested. Man was tested by selecting one family. Maybe this one family group, this one genetic line can make it. More idolatry. He sent the prophets to show the idolatry, and they were treated shamefully. Remember, you know, when you read about the prophets, we don't read about what happened to them. But just for an example, Isaiah, who we think, oh, there's a great prophet Isaiah. They tied him on a table because of, they said he was preaching heresy. Because he was saying what they were doing was just hypocrisy. They cut him in half. Starting with his legs spread, they cut him in half. kept preaching to them until, according to legend, until they cut his vocal cords. So the prophets were killed, stoned, treated shamefully. And he gave them his perfect law. And all he had to do was observe to do. In other words, in giving them the perfect law, when the obedience is observe to do, that means all you do is see. The same, it's pictured in the brass, you know, when the brass serpent and Moses held up, you know, da 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 da. You observe to do. What we see in all the feasts, most of the important feasts, all they do is look, see. Again, the prophets were beaten and stoned, and anybody that revealed the hypocrisy. And he sent more of his prophets greater than these. They were all killed. Then he sent his son. He was cast out and crucified. And then even after Christ's resurrection, he gave them one more chance. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so possibly with the Holy Spirit, then the human race could be saved. What did they do? They went back to their old lives to try to use the Holy Spirit for their benefit. We go fishing. We go return to our lives. Now all failed. It was the extent and totality of the mercy of God. Flesh is no more to be tested. Now it's only the resurrection. Without if the resurrection isn't manifest, then you are without hope. That's why it says, examine yourself. Prove to your own self. Know you not your own self that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. If you don't know that, then nothing else in life is important until that's manifest.
This is all centered around this nine of Ecclesiastes.
That's why we're repeating it.
Yeah, I'm just going to bring it to everybody's attention. But this is interesting.
It should scare the hell out of you.
Well, not yet. But the idea that of the reality of it, because if you don't, you know, if the resurrection isn't real, then you make up a religion to mask it. And that's why this says, be everything, do everything, fulfill everything, so you know.
Right.
You know, there's no bullshit in your seeking.
So, and you agreed with this. You agreed with, this is why baptism is such an important sacrament. You agreed, we all agreed with this when we were baptized. Even if your parents baptized you as an infant, you, in type, from God's perspective, you agreed with it. You agreed that all fail, the flesh is no more to be tested, and that he alone has life. And nobody knows this. We're just blithely going through life, following our nose. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. But I want to show it to you in the scriptures. And if you don't believe it, that's in your business. It is no longer of what we do or what we are, but only of what he is. In us, as us, this is the gospel. Now you can't say, okay, that makes me a king's kid, and that makes me entitled, because then you're doing the opposite of what Jesus did. we own all things, but we are, the gospel causes us to be emptied, voluntarily poor, because we know that if anything is a take in, whether it's even spiritual knowledge, if anything is a take in, it may appear for a minute to be a gain to me, but it's a death sentence to him. We just crucified him afresh. Even if I have a good idea, it's a gain to me. Even no matter what. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need anything. But all we do is we try to continue. We've spent a lifetime. Whatever is a gain to me, that's good. Even if it's knowledge of the cross, that's good. I can use this. No. No. That's why the most important person in our community is Shannon. If you can't learn dependence on God alone from Shannon, if you can't see faith alone from Shannon, you're hopeless. You might as well just go out and commit suicide. I don't care. If you're so hard-hearted, if your conscience has been so seared so that you can only see you and everything, just blow it off. Or go eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Tomorrow is the key. It's not the fact. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That means I've got time. I can think about, I can mangle the scriptures in 50,000 ways to give me time.
It's like the slogan on Joe's Crab Shack. On the side it says, free crab tomorrow. Which is just a continual...
That's a great sign.
Yeah.
That's a great sign.
That's a perfect...
Well, that's what sloppy agape is. Unless the immediacy and instancy of this is manifest in you, then I haven't succeeded. I haven't presented you perfect in Christ Jesus. And my life is vain and meaningless. Which I already know it is, but I mean the ministry is vain and if that can't happen. And so the only way I know for that to happen is to preach the cross. And to just jump all over you when I see you using time as an excuse. Settled. Man is lost and hopeless when they killed his son, when we killed his son. Flesh is no more to be tested. That's the mystery, and that was predicted in Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. They had to be buried long enough so that all the flesh and all the moisture was eaten off of the dry bone. And then, by the way, the Dry Bones Valley is in the desert, so it's even... Because the bones are a type of this, our offices in the body of Christ, but we can't see them, we don't know them, we can't pay attention to them. That's why nobody can know what they're going to do in God or in Christ or what's the will of God for your life. The will of God is your bones. That's why they went through all that to bring Jacob's bones back to the promised land. If that doesn't show you this, I don't know what will. This is cosmic. We are called to profess the worthlessness of the flesh. That's why Bible studies that try to get you to learn something or that psychobabble, like everybody gives their little opinions, are just bullshit. We don't have time for that anymore. This is a contrast to all philosophies, all religions, all value systems. That's why they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. It doesn't matter what you believe about it. Except when you try to protect yourself because then what you've done is resurrected this evil one from his deadly head wound, and therefore you've sentenced this Holy One of Israel, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, you've sentenced him to the deepest chambers of your being, to be locked away, if not killed. At best, you lock him away. Most of the time, you kill him. He cannot occupy where you are. You cannot be in his name and your name. Are you surprised that not many people hear this? I'm shocked that one of you hears it. Do I care whether you like it or not? Well, obviously I care from a flesh standpoint. We can't take the name of the Lord in vain by calling ourselves, putting the name of God on our flesh, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or this is what's going to happen tomorrow. We can't know. We can only meet need. You can't meet need if you don't have it, so you give what you have. And that may be it may be a thought, it may be a process, but you can't say, go and be, you know, go. I'm praying for you, brother. Be warmed and fed. Now, my solution to this has been to hide in a cave so I don't have to deal with all this stuff. I haven't been hiding, but I mean, that's the reality of it. That's why it's time for you to all of you. Some of you do it by habit, but others don't. It's because you're still afraid. You're still protecting yourself. You're still trying to figure out whether this is really true or not. The only thing that you should do this Christmas is prove to your own self. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13. What we're celebrating is meaningless unless this becomes manifest. God doesn't need us to have little celebrations to honor him.
I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians
13. Since you, in verse chapter 13, verse 3, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, or not that we should appear approved. In other words, his approval doesn't depend on what somebody does. But that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. That's an incredible statement. What is a reprobate then? We know it's a technical term. It's a legal term, like blasphemy. Blasphemy is to deny the foundation. A reprobate is one who is not that he doesn't want to repent. He's incapable of repentance because he doesn't know there's a life in him that will live on its own power. So he always tries to help, and he's always worried about his past, and he's always taking his cues from past actions. So, examine yourselves. This is the only thing to do. This is the Christmas message. Examine yourself. Know your own self. Prove to your own selves. Except how that Jesus Christ is in you. Not Christ, not some amorphous, oh, Christ is in me. Or it's that Jesus Christ, that it's the Word made flesh in you. Except you be reprobate. You're incapable of repentance. You can say, you're sorry, I'm not going to do that anymore. But you can't repent from God's repentance. It's God's repentance is repentance not to be repented of. So this is your Christmas message. If you ask me if I had one.
Yeah, the manner of proving that is ceasing from your own activities.
The only way you can prove it. That's why you're proving what present yourself as a living sacrifice. Holy, the perfect, acceptable will of God, proving. You got to prove it. You got to know it. If not, you'll be, no matter what you do, no matter how long you hang around, you're still a prisoner of your own mind, because that's where your religion is. Because you don't know there's some life in you that absolutely does not need your help. He cannot violate your will. He will not violate your thoughts. That's why the only way to know is what we've just been studying, that all else is empty and free. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody that didn't say amen?
Speak up.
You said Jesus.
You said amen silently? Okay.
Jesus knows.
Now, again, you got to understand, nothing I said today is optional. And if you want to, you can believe that's always doctrine or whatever else people say. I don't care. But you've got to at least have the integrity to face it. And have the courage to speak about it with me if you don't see it. Instead of going back into the little sanctuary of your own private religion and there do whatever you do.
I'm going to see what the internet says about this.
See what?
See what the internet says. Confirmation.
Oh, yeah. Go. I like these ill-idiot emails I get. Oh, what? Tell me, give me a book reference where I can read it. The Bible! Well, I want something else to see whether that's true or not. Then you're an idiot. What? You got a pained expression.
Well, I'm in a lot of pain, but that's not what I'm thinking about. What I'm thinking about is my experience agrees with what you said, that I agreed with this when I was baptized, and that I was counted as having agreed when my parents had me baptized. And therefore, God is, he's got me in his hand as opposed to just ignoring. And I make myself an enemy of the Holy Spirit when I resurrect myself. And when I am in my right mind, everything's just as great as it could possibly be.
When you do the airy guy thing.
I mean, that's my experience. I know that's true. I can tell anybody at any time that's true.
I'm so thankful.
I don't give a shit, but you're thankful.
I'm sorry.
You asked me what I was thinking about.
I'm sorry. Why do I do that?
Because you're a jerk.
Huh?
Because you're a jerk.
Well, that's the part Colin's
in. That's
black.
Okay. I'm a jerk, too.
Hey, I hear a song. You're a jerk. I had something this morning that
Pepper
heard this. Well, I've been fascinated with the strongest impulse in man is self-preservation. God did it. And that's why I know I'm one who killed Christ. Because I know put against the wall, that's what I would do to preserve myself.
Not if you were put against the wall. It's what you are doing every single day.
I don't realize that I'm doing it until I get pressured, and then I see that I would do it. Otherwise, I'm in the fog, if you understand that.
I understand it. That's what the problem is, because that gives you time to see it. I'm sorry to keep, when you have something really sincere to say, but you interject time into it. Because I would have. So you're using the language to justify yourself.
Well, I was saying just now that I see...
I understand that, but I want you to know why I don't let you speak. I'd let somebody else speak, but not you, because you're an elder.
I don't mind.
Okay.
No, it's really important, because he's responsible for other people.
I know.
It's not the same as some little kid. Big difference.
And I'm not picking on you. That's the responsibility you undertook when we did the laying of hands thing.
I didn't apply for this job.
Who here did?
You did early. Earlier you did.
But it's still good to see it. I mean, I know it's there, but without crystallized, and that's what those words did this morning, crystallize that reality. I have no excuse.
And that's what your words should do to whoever you're teaching.
Yeah.
If they're not, then it's just vain jangling.
Right.
But you can't speak it unless you live it. So that takes away all of the processes that you've been going through during the day because you had two lives. Now you can understand why the Holy Spirit's been your enemy all these years. Anybody else? Kevin?
Did you say vain jangling?
What did I say?
It's a biblical term.
Vain jangling, okay.
I was going to say something about trying to bring the jangling up to a point where it's not vain, at least.
I don't even know vain jangling. I don't even know what the hell that means. I don't know.
Yeah, but it sounds—it's a great sounding word. Listen, to that. Vain jangling.
Well, it sounds like it's from 1 Corinthians 13.
It's a beautiful word.
Does it say that?
Yeah. I don't know. It sounds
absolutely.
Like
it's a beautiful word.
Sorry, Mr.
Vain word.
Is it endless? I don't even
it's
know.
It's all over the Bible.
What you do when you're
stay a big guy quickly.
Wait a minute. He's in the overtime. Way overtime.
Yeah, you know. January 1st, the rollover minutes start over.